Breakfast with Steve Beck.
A very good Wednesday, and a very busy Wednesday. Carlisle Bell fans, I hope that's you. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM Online and at our website. I don't know if you're following on Twitter, if you're a Twitter, you know, Twitter active, you may not have realized what is going on here today. Honest to God, there's a chance that today, right now, from now till, let's see, 11 o'clock tonight. So, call it 14 hours. There is so much going on that it's kind of hard to believe. Hong Kong, of course, is running right now, and you just heard Dick Powell, and I'm sorry that Dick, we didn't have more time for Dick yesterday because it got, stacked up. I thought we'd be able to get the coverage about the HISA meeting in Kentucky. I thought we'd be able to get it done in 90 minutes, but, five guests, in that time frame was a little, it's a little short. So we ended up going, that extra 30 minutes. So that pushed us around a little bit. And the Hong Kong action right now, keeping an eye, the sixth is about, 10 minutes away. And maybe we'll get our usual race in about 9:45, the seventh, eighth, and ninth, of course, that late pick three. And actually, I'll go, let me go look and see if I can't find what Dick's pick three. I'm assuming that it's posted, so I'll look for that. But beyond Hong Kong, that's just part of what's going on right now. If you saw my tweet, I do this almost every year as long as I'm clued in and know when they run the Carlisle Bell. And it's today. It's Carlisle Bell Day at Carlisle Racecourse. And if you've never heard me provide this this dissertation about Carlisle Bell, you've heard me mention our mayor, Carlisle Bell, she out in the field at Rock Ridge with her Leah Frick baby. And she's—I actually have not heard if she's pronounced in full yet. I'm going to guess she is to combatant at Rock Ridge. But I named Carlisle Bell, who was our first homebred. This was the Macho Uno filly out of Aus-Able Chasm, and I had been aware of the Carlisle Bell for a fairly long time. And the Carlisle Bell is the, in terms of a trophy, it's the oldest known trophy in the sporting world. And so this goes way beyond, this is not just limited to the world of horse racing, which actually, it goes back, we talk about how far it goes back in North America and the U.S. That's true worldwide. 1599, the first running of a stake with the Carlisle Bell as the prize. And they've got a great history. I mean, they've been running this race, for 400 plus years. And, with a couple of interruptions, there's been some fairly involved wars that have kept, have interrupted the schedule. But the most amazing thing about the Carlisle Bell and the inscription that goes around it, they're at a museum in Newmarket. The main bell, the gold bell, has a inscription around it in, I guess, Old English. It wouldn't be Gaelic, which translates as "the swiftest horse this bell to take for my lady Dacre's sake." And they've got such a great history. In the late 1800s, they got lost. They disappeared. And they were gone for 40, 50 years. They couldn't find them. And then suddenly apparently in some municipal office, they found a box in the back of a filing cabinet. And up, there's the Carlisle Bells. It's pretty funny. It's almost as cool as, you know, the Woodlawn vase being buried and hidden, and there's a lot of fun things like this. But the Carlisle Bell today, we've listened to it a few times over the years, and we will tune in and let's take a look at actually switched over to Happy Valley, but just as a as an idea, they're now, let's see, they're about 20 minutes to the third race at Carlisle. They got a very nice card. In addition to the Carlisle Bell, they're also running the Cumberland Plate, which is these days a companion stake run on the same day. The funny thing is, it's a handicap. It's not like certainly not a big purse. It's a handicap, and just kind of a listed stake quality, but it's got some cachet, a lot of prominent outfits have won it. And just looking at, there's been actually a couple of scratches, three scratches. So it's a field of 14 that goes, and let's see if we can identify. I read a couple of days ago, see if anybody came out that nobody really came out of major prominence, we won't know a favorite for a little bit, but it looks like McKean, that's the one we read about, the Dabawi gelding. Julie Camacho sends out, and 5-1, and co morning line favorite Tim Easterby's Cassio, a Camacho gelding. So David O'Meara, I probably got to look at David O'Meara and Danny Tudhope's Raven's Pass gelding, Pisanello, 7-1 morning line. So there's your top three choices. There's also Tilsit, who's 8-1, and who else is in? And then there's a bunch of 10-1s. And then it goes careening up. We'll check Odds Checker a little later in the morning. All right, so there's Hong Kong. Then there's Carlisle. Then at 10:30, less than 90 minutes from now, don't forget the Churchill. Churchill kicks off. Everybody is making adjustments because of the hot temperatures. And as a result, you've got the night card at, particularly, that was moved. In fact, we're gonna talk to Eric Hallstrom in about 15 minutes. We'll get Eric in here. There's a press release from Horseshoe, and they want to make sure that tonight on Fox you have the Canterbury card, as you heard us talk with Kevin Gorg and with Andrew Offerman on Monday, and those times are for their stakes are locked in, and with this surprise or not surprise, but this scheduling change by Indiana to avoid the heat and run after the sun sets and things cool down, there's some potential and for conflict, and Indiana is going to, it looks like they're going to, I'm assuming that this is what Eric is going to announce, that they're going to change their post times to make sure they do not conflict with Canterbury. So Eric will detail that. So I saw that was happening, and I wanted to give Eric a chance to tell everybody. They've got two stakes themselves tonight. Two of the, I mentioned yesterday, the Hoosier Breeders. And they've got a fabulous card tomorrow night, too. Big full fields at Indiana the next couple of nights. I thought about maybe taking a Churchill race. Honestly, it's kind of a modest card, at least the beginning of the card. It's a set of maiden claimers, in fact, including a horse that that Mike Tomlinson, who joined us yesterday, is sending out in the first. So anyway, here we go. Again, Hong Kong, Carlisle, Churchill Downs. Then you get into the afternoon action, and that includes Delaware, where there's a stake today. And want to make people aware of that. You've got the Lose that goes at 3 o'clock this afternoon, six-pack, where Jerry Robb is doing his best imitation of of Chad or some other big outfit. He's got three in this stake today. These are three-year-old fillies going six. And there's actually a very nice second-level allowance, field of eight that goes ahead of it, turf sprint. That's the fifth, and it starts the late pick four. So there's also later on, actually, too, there's a 11-horse field with an entry as well that goes as the seventh, which is a 16-non-2, mile and 70 on the turf. So nice card at Delaware, and yeah, everything else that's staying on the schedule for the afternoon, Finger Lakes, actually. Finger Lakes has got a terrific late sequence. They got a pick five that starts in the fourth. 9 by 9 by 10 by 9 by 10. How about that? Yeah, take a look at Finger Lakes. Then things transition to these night cards. Canterbury, of course, the major focus. Going to be on Fox, America's Day at the Races. And the five turf stakes, Papo's going to pop in. Papo Morales, we'll talk to him and see what I think we sent out a couple of the glances from Form to Win yesterday, but we'll get some more specifics. Papo's got a few races charted out. We're going to talk to Deshaun Parker this hour, and Deshaun Parker, I'm pretty sure that we had a conversation when he hit win number 5,000. I mean, which is, you know, it's about as robust a statistic for a jock when you hit 5K. Yeah, that's quite a number. And Deshaun last night at Indy hits. Wins 6,000, and he's not done, obviously. I mean, Deshaun is going to go on for a while yet. And that victory last night puts him, and he had already passed Jerry Bailey in the last year at some point to become the 21st winningest rider in the game's history. And the next legendary name that is in Deshaun's sights now is Johnny Longden. Yeah, when you start to win 6,000 races, you're gonna start running into some very, very prominent names. Johnny Longden, 6,032 wins, and I mean those are the wins that they were able to keep track of. I mean, obviously, you would think that Longden, God knows, what offbeat, non-sanctioned racetrack victories Longden might have had. But 6,032 for the stat-keeping purposes. So Deshaun will knock that off in pretty short order next. T.D. Houghton, who's active, is ahead of him. Then K.D., Kent DeSormo, 61-16. Houghton's got 6,106. Cam Gambardella, 6,349, is 17th on the list. Eddie Delahousse, 6,384. The late Larry Snyder, 6,388. Johnny V, who is quite active himself, 6,414. That's 14th on the list. And Johnny is going to pass Sandy Hawley soon. He's 36 behind Hawley. And then another 20 to Early Fires. And then there'll be a lull because Georgie Velasquez, 6,795, is 11th. Yeah. So there's a bit of a gap between Early Fires at 12 and Johnny V. And then Johnny V, Sandy Hawley, Early Fires, George Velasquez. And then there's another gap of 300 to Mario Pino, who, of course, we talked to when he hit that 7,000th. Then Angel, 7,057. Edgar, who, of course, is Edgar Prado, who's still active, of course, 7,112 is eighth all time. I don't think people, if you ask people, you know, to name the active jocks that are on the in the top 10, it might not occur to people that Edgar's got that many wins. 7,112. Then McCarron. Perry Utes, also active at 94. No, I'm kidding. The amazing Perry Utes ahead of McCarron, 7,273. David Gall finished with 7,396. Pat Day, 8,803. Shu, 8,833. Lafitte Pinkai, 9,530. And you know, the reality is, we don't, you know, it's still relatively recent. You think about it, Lafitte was not going to necessarily, he was not done by any stretch. He would have kept riding if he had not had that last injury. But he ends up with 9,530 to be second. And of course, Russell Bays with the ridiculous, just unapproachable 12,842. I mean, that, when you talk about records that you would not expect to be broken, that is going to be, seemingly impossible. I'm just looking down. Who's the youngest rider that's still got a long way to go? Javier Castellano, 5506. He's 25th. So, but still, that, and then sitting 32nd, Anthony Black. and technically, see, they don't have the asterisk by Tony's name. They think he's retired, but they're going to have to slap an asterisk on Tony's name when he takes that couple of calls. Pretty funny. There you go. I didn't expect to get into that, but I'm glad we did, actually. So now, you know, if you didn't know that list, you do. Eric Hamelbeck will join us at around 10. We'll talk to Eric about yesterday's conversation and more involved, more detail about the Monday meeting, the HISA presentation. And I again want to thank the five horsemen who joined us yesterday, and got a very good reaction, particularly from other horsemen and from industry stakeholders who appreciated the perspective of the horsemen that handle these responsibilities and have to, you know, have to respond to what is occurring. So we'll get Eric's. We got a few things that Eric is going to, I think, touch on. And you know, the one thing that he brought up Monday in the presentation was the chain of responsibility, essentially the covered person aspect of how HISA is going to administer things. So, and specifically brought up the away from the racetrack element of this when you send your horse for a turnout. Now, Chuck was funny. the log at the farm, ran around field. Tuesday, Wednesday, ran around field. Thursday, stood by fence, ran around field. what do you think the turnout is supposed to be? That's the idea. You made me laugh thinking of listening back to that, actually. And, of course, Ron Moquette was just – Moquette's unbelievable. He's – you want to talk country smart. You got Moquette's picture is, when you look up that term. So let's – here, Case, let's get Eric in here before I start to get stacked up. Eric Hallstrom, going to visit from Indiana. And let me hit a couple of pieces of news as we do that. And if you didn't see this, I will mention Bill Nader coming back to North America. And Nader, who had an unexpected return to Hong Kong and kind of helped HKJC out of a jam when the person that actually had replaced him kind of left a little abruptly, and Bill came back to Hong Kong, and his contract that he had signed, I guess, winding down, and the opening in the TOC, they're going to bring Bill Nader in, and yeah, Bill's had plenty of experience in a lot of different areas. Understand marketing, you know, long time marketing type and operations management type, the tenure at NYRA, and then for the most part, this extended run with a brief return to the U.S. Over the last, I don't know, 10, 12 years with Hong Kong, right? So, Bill Nader is going to help the TOC. And speaking of TOC and California, one thing that kind of thing that Nader would have to deal with, the complaint issued yesterday and finally some specifics associated with the exclusion of entries from Richard Baltus at Santa Anita, and you know, the essential detail had been that some help had been seen on camera on race day, administering at the time unknown whatever to horses, and that they had, you know, the video feed, you know, from the closed circuit, or you know, whatever you call the video monitoring. And the CHRB issued a formal complaint, and there'll be a, you know, a stewards hearing at Los Al July 1. And the specifics of it, based on testing at Davis, two products that show up in this handful of horses, between April 15th and May 3rd, 23 horses captured on surveillance video, and hygenamine and Payanol. The hygenamine, it feels like a kind of a bronchodilator and seemingly kind of a Lasix-ish benefit concept, and it's also got stimulant properties. There's no getting around its definition of a stimulant either. And the panel is a little different, and that's something that does not seem to have as specific a property like the hygenamine. So this at least gives definition to the exclusion of Baltus from the entry box. So we'll see where that one goes. And you may have seen also this morning a story. I saw it, a Blood Horse. I did not check TDN, but the story in advance of yet another KHRC hearing coming up on June 28th, the calling into question the methodology involved in Dr. Malin's study that Baffert attorneys referenced and utilized to try to establish that Medina Spirit, that the positive, the betamethasone positive,
yeah, it was
specifically a topical. And to quickly summarize this without going into too much detail, the people, the experts, the doctors that are looking at Malin's study, essentially they're saying that just because he declared that the betamethasone presence, that the particulate would come from a topical, it doesn't, in their opinion, based on you know, the scientific methodologies and a few things they reference, it doesn't exclude that there's also the presence potentially of injectable betamethasone. Basically, they're saying that, and basically what I think all of us have said is, especially now that this is, you know, the penalty's been affected and the disqualification has happened and Baffert has, you know, served this 90-day suspension, it never mattered, honestly. It certainly didn't matter. I understand why they wanted to make the case that it was topical, but it doesn't matter. It's a substance that needed to be out of the horse's system, and it just speaks to not taking the responsibility and you know, essentially whether it was topical or not, it's mismanagement of the treatment and attention to the horse. It didn't matter. Anything else was immaterial. It'd be better for everybody. Just be over with. I mean, what? But it's just continues to drag. Every time it comes up, it creates, you know, it's like kicking a hornet's nest every single time. So. Those were today's fabulous headlines. let's get to what should be a great night of racing, and it was not Indiana's intention to, you know, run essentially at the same time as Canterbury's big night, but these high temperatures and these two heat waves. They have necessitated early posts, Churchill moving up and Indy moving back. And Eric Hallstrom joins us. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, to Indianapolis, where it's always just sunshine and rainbows and perfect, perfection.
you mean when there aren't tornado warnings and washouts and
That's exactly right. We put we made sure we sprayed for locusts this week just in case there was some sort of plan we didn't know about.
I'll tell you, the tornado alley or whatever you call it. Meanwhile, you certainly, you know, looking at last night, Monday, you had already, you know, you ran the regular card. Last night, not only did you run the card, but you also were hosted a milestone, in fact, for Mama, the Jeff Greenhill runner for Deshaun Parker, and everybody stopped to acknowledge him winning race 6,000 in his career.
Yeah, super neat. And, you know, I there's a lot of people that go on and, you know, brag about Deshaun and what kind of guy he is. And I can just, if anybody's got any question, he is one of the most humble, easy to be around people that, you know, I've been in racing. So for to be there for 6,000, that's 6,000 is a big number. And, yeah. You know, he was very happy, you know, and you can see when people are genuinely touched by something. And you know, Deshaun's still living with a relatively close departure of his father, who they were very close. And, you know, I know that was important to him. So anyway, I felt lucky to be there. It was a great night.
And, of course, he had won earlier on the card to get to 5999. And it's funny because it did seem, you know, whenever whenever you get to these close milestones, you know, the Equibase sends out advisories and, you know, they say, you know, is now at whatever number. And it really kind of felt yesterday that, you know, knowing that the Fur Mama, if he was going to get the win earlier, it sure seemed like Fur Mama, who was, I think, you know, 2-5 to win. So it felt like if he had won earlier on the card that it was going to happen, you know, last night, and it did. We're going to talk to him in a little bit.
Yeah, he was just waiting behind those horses. Once he got out, you know, Deshaun wasn't going to miss that one for 6,000. Not that horse.
Well, to turn ahead, and one of the things that I noted that was happening today that you had acknowledged, and with Canterbury on television tonight as part of America's Day at the Races and the Fox telecast, they are locked in to their post times for television, and the cards that you've established for last night, tonight, and tomorrow, they, especially the second half, the last five races, they ended up really conflicting. So I see the announcement that you're going to change your post times to make sure that you don't run on top of each other.
Yeah, it seems like the right thing to do. And, you know, I know you're an advocate of this type of thinking too, Steve. And it doesn't, you know, I don't think it takes a genius to say why conflict with post times. It's just a matter of making sure one of us stays off the other. Now, they're just absolutely loaded today with their card. And, you know, those are all my pals. I've been around those guys for a long time. I'm hoping for the best for them tonight. But we got our own great card, you know, a couple stakes and just a full field of turf. It makes sense for us to just try to keep an eye on their card. They're kind of locked into their post time, so it's not an issue of them being able to move one way or the other. But we can, and so we'll take that lead and let them have a great night, and we'll follow along here with them.
Very nice. They're really considerate, and it's something that the horse players will appreciate. And you know, nobody's fault that the way this you know, this sort of came about. When explain to people, actually, Eric, I mean, in with your long history in track management, and knowing that Equibase has the, I guess it's actually Jockey Club. Is it? I guess it's Jockey Club Information Services has that scheduling tool. Explain to players and fans how this works and what leeway there is when there's an occasion like this.
Yeah. So we our mutual manager is so good at this. Rob Wesner's his name, and you know Rob is very focused on what's happening around him and. It's not just tonight, but in other days as well. And, you know, there is, at least in our case, some recognition of, you know, who you don't want to be saddled up next to. It does us no good to run a post time that's right next to Churchill. You know, we're going to lose that battle. And, you know, therefore, you know, Rob is looking at this stuff days and days out. And he had, you know, once we had changed our post times to come in the night, he said, you know, this was 5 days ago, had said we were going to have an issue with Canterbury, and they got their big card. Andrew had reached out as well and said, hey, I think he uses that system, I believe. and said we got an issue. So we've been talking about this for a few days. Now, the problem is we draw 6 days in advance, so we have to have post times that are listed in the program at that time. But that doesn't mean they have to go off right at that exact time. And Rob has leeway, and our stewards are just fantastic to work with us with, you know, understanding what business is all about. And you know, tonight would be a night, frankly, if we just stayed right on top of Canterbury, we'd probably come up short. And that doesn't do us any good, and it wouldn't help them either. And, you know, that doesn't seem like the right way for us to do things. So we'll figure out a way to move back just a little bit, and, you know, it'll be a good team tonight. I think two great cards. I know they've got a great one, and we love our card.
Well, and I also noticed, and I'd forgotten, frankly, when I printed out the Canterbury card the other day, and I'd forgotten that you guys had announced this. And, you know, so then when I went and looked, and I wanted to, you know, knowing that there was the two Hoosier Breeders sophomore stakes, and then I realized, wow, this is going to be, you know, this is a surprise for everybody. But in addition, for those that'll be a little bit more focused maybe on Canterbury tonight, tomorrow night's card you've got again. I mean, in fact, Eric, it's probably a good spot for us to get a snapshot of the meet to this point, about a quarter in, and you know, you've been fielding races like this. I mean, with the winter tracks, even with Oaklawn's late to finish, it feels like everybody's dust has settled, and you're probably also a beneficiary right now of people looking for turf races coming out of Churchill, and you know, those two dozen races that had been in the last condition book for the grass that were moved to dirt. So I'm sure you're getting some horses that are looking for turf races.
We sure are. And, you know, the week that filled here, you know, this was, we canceled 3 days last week because of the heat, which is unprecedented in my go-around, my experience. But it also leaves you in a spot where you got a lot of horses looking to get back in. And so, and just coincidentally, obviously, they've got the issues down in Louisville with the turf course. And we've got a very good turf course. Now, you can only use it so much, though. That's, you know, I wish we could run 10 a day on that thing, but we can't. And that we would end up in trouble before the end of the meet if we did. But, you know, you'll see that this week, you know, when Chris has got a turf race sitting in the book or on an extra, you know, that thing will have, it'll fill immediately. And, you know, in fact, he's offing races that have got 12, 14 entries in it. And it just seems foreign in this period of time, and it won't last forever, but it, you know, we are at least able to help some of those folks from Louisville get their turf horses out of the barn. And, and it's good for us in the sense of having that quality, you know, being an hour and a half away from them. We're able to accommodate. I just wish we could run more turf racing. We've got to be careful with that course, though.
Good point. Good point. And you know, you got a long summer ahead yet.
Yeah, yeah, and we got the, you know, we're 2 weeks away from the Indiana Derby, so you know, we're moving that our rail. We've got several positions. You know, we got a 0, 12, 24, and 36 feet setting, and you know, we're gradually moving out right now. So we're using the course as best as we possibly can, and by the time we get to that big weekend, we should be at 0, and that turf down there, it needs some water, frankly, but you know, it's in good shape. So
everything, give us a bit of a snapshot too of the, you know, the numbers overall and you know, where you stand this point into the season.
Yeah, it's hard to compare because, you know, we didn't run as much in April, and then we've had some cancels with not just the heat, but we had a couple days where the skies just opened up. So we're, you know, all in all, we're fighting through. What I'm encouraged with is that on days where things are equal from year to year and weather's normal, we're, you know, usually ahead of last year's numbers. But, you know, there's been some days that have been a little tough. And I'm, you know, moving to the nighttime is not really our spot. But this is one of those cases where we need to these days for our horsemen, and there's certain times where you just gotta you got to bite the bullet. You know, I don't think we're maximizing handle where we are tonight because we've got a good spot at that 2:30 Eastern time. But, you know, this is a big picture here, and a lot of people really need these horses to run. And we've lost a lot of races in the last, you know, 2-3 weeks, and we got to get them back.
There you go. All right. And certainly the players benefit. When you look at these, when you look at these fields, and when you put together some plays,
You know, there's when you look at we're proud. I'm just, you know, I look at what we've got tonight. You know, every name that you can think of that runs down at Churchill, you know, almost has something in here tonight. And whether it's in the, you know, these turf maidens that are just overfilled, and you know, I think Chris even split one of them because there was 26 entries in it, and you know, it tells you kind of what's coming our way, and just where, that we're in kind of a good spot with this turf course. But you know, the two stakes we have too are really, really interesting, because if you look, these 3-year-old Indiana bred and sired horses are getting better, and you know, now is the time where some of these really good sprinters are trying to stretch out, and you don't know. It doesn't matter what state you're born in, you don't know if you're going to stretch out. But you know, there's a lot of town, especially in the colt side. There's some horses in there that, you know, have really made a name for themselves already, and you know, we'll see who can at a mile 16th who's left standing. But it's a good bunch, one that we're glad to be able to throw out there.
Yeah, I'm looking ahead to tomorrow too, and the Thursday slate, very similar. A lot of open company action actually tomorrow, including a first level allowance going a mile on the turf that's got 12. There's a open company maiden special weight for 3-year-old fillies, 6 on the dirt. You've got well, it's Brad Cox is everywhere. I had Brad yesterday. I mean, look, it's unbelievable. He's just he's all over this card too. And in fact, I think you and I even talked about that. The fact that that Brad, and I haven't looked at the trainer standings actually in a few weeks. I'm curious how is that portion here. Let's take a look. Leaders by track. Let's see where the numbers are right now at Horseshoe. Have people made the adjustment, Eric, too? Have they stopped saying the word grand, and have they gotten accustomed to Horseshoe?
For the most part, we're getting there. And it was not there was a few bumps in the road along the way, but we've all kind of gotten there. And, you know, and actually, if you see the facility and, the you know, some of the way that the brand looks around there, it's, you know, over time, nobody wants to be going back and forth and doing different things, but it's a really cool look, and you know, we're all happy with where we're at with that now.
Well, and here's the numbers. And Marvin Johnson, at least in earnings, not necessarily in wins, but Marvin Johnson leading in earnings. And when it comes to wins, Randy Klopp, no surprise there. Klopp atop the standings, Gennaro Garcia, then Johnson in terms of quantity. Amos with a little bit, it seems, of a snapback year after a little bit of an off year for him last year. Then John Horan. And then Brad Cox. Brad got 9 wins. So nice mix, actually. And, you know, I don't know if you heard when I had Bob Gorham. Now it's what? Maybe it was like 3 weeks ago that he got his 2,000th win.
Yes.
And we talked about him, you know, making his transition and you know, ending up essentially, you know, Indiana, a big part of his, and Ohio, a big part now of his operation and his partner, and had a very interesting conversation actually about the regional. You know, he was a Michigan stalwart for years, and he's had to, you know, make the transition and go where the opportunity is, and that's Indiana.
Yeah, and we're lucky to have him, but he's figured out this game here. And you talked about the trainer standings. You know, Marvy's been great. You know, Randy Klopp is, you know, starting to, he's gotten hot and is winning some races. Tom jumped out to the lead. At one point, he was winning 40-some%. And, you know, he's just so good at spotting the right horses. And, I'm sure we'll keep winning at a high percentage, but there's a lot of, we've got a lot of good quality here, and Brad probably hasn't hit stride yet, but you know he's going to, and that there's a lot of winners coming our way, and then you even look at Steve. Steve hasn't won a race yet, and that won't last very long. You know, Steve Asmussen. So we got a lot of quality coming up here, and this is our time of year where they seem to be kind of prepared for us here. We're getting a lot of Illinois interest, and with Hawthorne closing this week, and I think you'll see that we're hitting a pretty good stretch of racing here for us.
Outstanding. Well, Eric, I appreciate this. I saw that message that you guys were going to adjust your post time. So those that are playing tonight and watching tonight, Indiana, essentially in the second half of the card, you'll see that their post times, you'll push back, right? You won't go earlier.
That's correct. Well, and I know that, in speaking to Andrew, that they're tied to their post times, for TV purposes and all that. So that makes it actually easy for us just to know when and where they're going to be. And we'll have it all figured out. Our guy, Rob Wesner, is one of the best in the business for making sure we're not on top of each other.
Nice. Very good. I'm glad we did this. And I will see you in 2 weeks. I'm not sure yet if we're going to be there both days leading up to Derby Day, the 7th and the 8th. But I absolutely will be there without fail to broadcast on July 8th.
Looking forward to seeing you. I mean that. It'll be great, Steve.
We will be on our way back up. I'll be fresh and ready. Because I can claim that I'll be tan because we're going to Mexico for a week, but I wouldn't count on that. I'm not much of a tanner. What's the great Woody Allen line? I don't tan, I stroke. Tina, however, Tina will be brown as a berry. We can go on a vacation and go someplace warm and sunny, and literally that night when we go out for dinner after one night in the sun, she's all tan. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't have that gift either. So good for Tina. We're looking forward to seeing her too.
I love it. Eric Hallstrom, everybody. And you follow Eric, Eric A. Hallstrom on Twitter. And, of course, the new changeover, HS Indy Racing. When it comes to following the track itself and everybody else, Brian Aragone and Rachel McLaughlin and the whole team, well worth it, and looking forward to being with them for their big day, for Indiana Derby Day, and all the stakes that come with it, the Oaks and the Mary Holman George, and you got the whole. When will you draw that card?
That'll be July 4th, Monday the 4th.
Very good. So everybody will have most of the week to anticipate it. Eric Hallstrom, good luck tonight, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
See you soon, Steve.
There it is, Eric Hallstrom with some nice news. Let's get Papo in, and we will take Papo to the top of the hour, and then ahead of the visit from Eric Hamelbeck, Deshaun Parker for a few minutes, just to take a bow, and I'm sure you'll hear a lot of he's kind of humble as and kind of an aw shucks interview typically, he just is so appreciative and is a guy that really was operating for the longest time, particularly in West Virginia, and he just, was piling up wins and piling up wins, but really not somebody that I think mainstream horse players had a chance to really watch on a regular basis. But in the last, the last, 10 years maybe, Deshaun Parker has gotten out on a wider, at least B plus circuit basis, and has kind of opened eyes. I mean, people, you know, people just knew that he won a lot of races. Now that they get to watch him, you know, a lot of afternoons, not just at night, realize what a terrific race rider he is. Papo Morales joins us here. And Papo, we missed, I was talking to Eric, and I missed that seventh at Hong Kong. But do you remember a Wednesday where there was so much action start to finish all day long?
No, Steve, it's an unusual Wednesday, but that makes it good.
Agreed. Before we look at that, how about a quick recap from the weekend? We had looked at and put out some form to win snapshots of the Monmouth races.
Yeah, the I mean, it had Mind Control, form to win, basically had the Exactive Pole, Mind Control over Hot Rod Charlie. I mean, the Exacta didn't pay well because they were the two top choices, but you got $6 in return if you bet Mind Control to win. So, yeah, so it was pretty fruitful there. And then at the Poker Stakes, I kind of keyed on Wolfie's Dyna Ghost, and he held on second to Mason, who was the overwhelming favorite. But you did not get the Chad Exacta, so that Exacta actually returned a little bit better than I was expecting. So all in all, the charting on form to win did well.
And you had said that. You had really stressed the Wolfie's Dyna Ghost, and been a favorite, the Woods Lane farm people and that family, the Dynair family, unbelievably productive. There's actually the younger siblings that are still bubbling to the surface. Speaking to bubbling to the surface, and we can't give you the Carlisle Bell charting on form to win, but I can certainly tell you what's happening from a price standpoint. And as I kind of hinted, that Pizzanello, David O'Meara, and Danny Tudhope, the Ravens pass gelding, bet down to 3-1. So that's your favorite. We're about 2 minutes away from the Carlisle Bell, and we're certainly going to listen in. One of my favorite races, and I thought so highly of it, I named a horse after it. And I've got to get it's funny, her first foal, Carlisle Bell's first foal, is a colt, a Leah Frick, and now she's in foal with a combatant. And, of course, these, you know, stand at Rockridge, and I do need her to come up with a filly so that I can name something that ties into Carlisle Bell. So I'm watching. I guess we'll wait. We have to wait another year to see if she's going to bring a filly along. You've also got McKean, who was certainly one of the main plays in here. McKean now down to 3-1 for Julie Camacho, and that's the 3-horse, and then the 7, Cassio, 7-1. Any other single digits? 6-1, actually. I'll tell you who's taking money. David O'Meara's other horse with Ryan Sexton aboard. This is Aaron Moore, the Oasis Dream gelding. Interesting. That was a horse that was 15-1 morning line, has been bet down to 6-1. So those are your single digits. And no real value on Pizzanello, who seemed interesting at the potentially higher price. So we're going to take this one, and then Papo will give us a couple of opinions. They're milling around behind the gate. Time form in Europe, they like McKean on top with Pizzanello, and a bit of a price, a boy named Ivy, Michael Dodds, the 7. They like 3-5-7 just on the time form strength. And let's bring up the, there we go. Distance wise, this is a mile, and the conditions, obviously, after coming off of Royal Ascot. Did you play much Ascot at all, Papa?
No, strictly watch Ascot, Steve.
It was fun, right? It's entertaining.
Yeah, it's always it's fun. I enjoy the European racing, so even if I'm not wagering on that particular meet that day, I enjoy watching it.
Well, they're all gathering in here, so we just got to kind of wait out. And of course, the starting crew at Ascot, they exited the stand, I think, a little bruised about the head and face. They took a beating with some of the gate problems that arose. It's funny when it comes to we explained this last week. You know, there's basically a different set of race courses that run on a daily basis in the UK and Ireland. And like, for instance, today, in addition to Carlisle, Bath is running, Kempton Park, Salisbury, and Worcester. And I don't think that they've got the luxury, for instance, like a circuit like Kentucky, where the gate crew at Churchill, they'll move to Keeneland, and they'll move to Ellis, and they'll move to Kentucky Downs. Same thing in New York, obviously. The Naira gate crew, that's the gate crew. The group at Ascot, I imagine that, it's some of the best, you would think, that can be assembled. But it just they don't seem to be as staffed, and of course when you have 27 horse fields, I suppose you're asking for some trouble too, right, Papa? I mean, that's that might be part of the issue.
Yeah, it's a lot of they should actually increase the number of assistants and starters that they have out there, but yeah, they had some issues. They definitely had some issues this year.
Got about, looks like, two milling. Your favorite for the Carlisle Bell. 3-1 now on McKean. McKean has overtaken Pisanello, who's now 4-1.
Thanks, Niall, for this grand old race. The stablemate by Agma, Carlisle Bell. The oldest sporting trophy still being competed for. And the last one to go in is Tommy G. For our feature, or one of our features, the stablemate by Agma, Carlisle Bell. They're all in. And they're off, racing over a mile. Le Reveur was slow to go, and away smartly Global Spirit, right there with the leaders invincibly, and Tommy G to the inside. McKean is racing prominently, and just in behind the front rank is a Garden Oasis. In that front rank is End Zone in the light blue jacket, and that one is three wide as they go towards the end of the back. Aaron Moore rather keen in mid-division with Tilsit to the inside. They're being followed by Give It Some Teddy, Cassio right around the field. And up along the inner is a boy named Ivy. Pisanello's nearer last than first. Second last is Le Reveur as they make the run away from the back. And Mykonos St. John is the back marker. So they're heading now towards the final half mile with a good 15 lengths first to last. And it's Tommy G from Invincibly. This pair are about a length and a half in advance of End Zone in third. McKean to the inside is in fourth place, being followed by Global Spirit, Garden Oasis, Tilsit, Aaron Moore, a boy named Ivy, Cassio, Blue Silts three wide. To the inside is Le Reveur with Give It Some Teddy and Pisanello coming under pressure. Mykonos St. John is still the trailer. They race up the hill to the final two. It's Paul Mulrennan aboard Tommy G in front. Invincibly is under a ride. McKean being asked a question out to the inside. Tilsit in the green colours is to the left. Cassio to the extreme right in the blue jacket. And last year's runner-up Global Spirit also wants a slice of the action. Invincibly is now the leader from Tommy G. McKean, Tilsit, Cassio right around the field. Inside the final furlong, Invincibly, Tommy G, McKean, further back to Cassio. It's Invincibly in front and running on to take the Carlisle Bell. Invincibly the winner, Tommy G, McKean, and Tilsit all involved for places.
How about this? And all we did was, and in fact, on Monday, we talked with Nick Luck, and I specifically talked about Carl Burke and his fabulous Ascot, and here's Carl Burke winning the Carlisle Bell with an Invincible Spirit four-year-old. Unbelievable. 8-1. And it should have made that connection with the Burke runner. How about that? Good race. Waiting for the final. This was, if you didn't watch, this was really good. And Invincibly, you might have thought, might have struck the front a little bit early, but in fact ended up extending the lead in the late stages. And I'll tell you what, this horse, this Invincibly, he's got himself a whirlaway length tail. We're gonna nickname him Mr. Longtail. Holy cow. They're giving the stretch run, and it's an uphill finish, which like a Kentucky Downs, which is always interesting and can take a toll on a front runner. But this was a very fun race, and they're still waiting. Looks like there's really no reason for them not to show the top four finishers, because they are separated by long necks. Second, third, and fourth. Well, Invincibly is your Carlisle Bell winner, and there's another handicap to follow, the Cumberland Plate. But our favorite race, the Carlisle Bell, in the books again since 1599. Okay, Papa, what about tonight? What are we doing with all these terrific stakes races and the Pick 5 action at Canterbury?
Yeah, Steve, I'll just fire through those races at Canterbury real quick, starting with race 8, the Mystic Lake Derby, formed to win like the Dowagic Chief, the 6 horse, as well as Heaven Street, the 10 horse, and then Ben's Malice, the 11 on the outside. Those were the top three on formed to win. And then backing up to the 7th, that sprint, Out of Speed Drama's Chorus at a price, the number 9 horse at 12-1, Touch Revenge, the 7 horse at 5-1, and then the 1 horse, Street Ready, who's 8-1. All those horses spit on form to win. And then backing up to the 6th, this race actually looks a bit chalky. You may be able to go very light in this race. She Can't Sing was the top horse, but she's the morning line favorite, followed by Saranya. And then the 12 horse Ready to Runway at 6-1. You may want to use underneath.
That's an MTO. MTO that'll come out.
Okay, so she's out. Okay. Then I would just squeak by with one or two of those. The 4th, which is a very interesting race, and Form Win found some prices. The number 1 horse Ship It Red at 20-1. The 12 horse Plain Talk at 15-1, and then the 2 horseological horse, XY Speed, in that particular sprint race. And then in race 3, the
that's not
off
the
speed.
Hold on now. I think you got the wrong. You got the wrong race there, Papo. That's not the 7th.
But I was talking about the 4th. The 7th is not included in the Pick 5. Oh, yeah, it is, Steve. Yeah, I already talked about the 7th, Steve. That's the 9-horse Drama Chorus.
Okay, seven. There you go, yeah.
Yeah, 7, right, so I lost Touch Revenge.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, so just the 7th, 9-7-1 and the 7th. And then the 6th, 7-8-12. You know, She Can't Sing looks like the logical favorite. And then race 4... the 112-2, Ship It Red at 20-1, Plain Talk at 15-1, XY Speed Logical at 2-1. And then the beginning of the series, the race 3, the number 5 horse, Schmolzfitz, the 12 horse, Latin Nikita at 12-1, and then the 10 horse, Ella the Ball, at 6-1. So I'd be interested in building tickets off some of those. Obviously, you'll probably want to go light in the She Can't Sing race, but there's some prices, especially in those sprint races, Steve. There's there's some hidden form. You got to look back using form to win. You know, I took out some of the horses that were coming out dirt races, but they ran very competitive in these races last year at Canterbury. And I heard the gentleman that you had on yesterday mention to look for horses that perform well at that particular track. So, yeah, there's definitely some opportunities in the sequence.
Well, Kevin Gorg yesterday from Canterbury, and he also was very much expecting to lean on She Can't Sing, the Chris Block, Jareth Loveberry favorite in the Lady Canterbury, and he in fact he's going to single on his ticket. So all right, this is good. All right, I've got. How many? Let's see. What we sent out yesterday, Papo. How many of those did we?
Yeah. So I sent out four yesterday, and then this morning I posted race four. I just included it under the existing tweet from yesterday. So it's all five stakes races. Yeah, are covered.
Very good. All right. So I'll read. I will get that retweeted again. For everybody, and I should. You know what? I'll check with. I want to check with Andrew about scratches. When because I'm waiting to write up my own. I've got it capped, but I figured I'd with these size fields, when you start making up tickets, and then next thing you know somebody scratches, and you got to redo them. So I'm going to find out when scratch time is for them. All right, there's Canterbury. And I asked you, I know we missed it, but in terms of the Hong Kong action,
action, Steve. Okay. But I did look at those two races at Horseshoe tonight, the two stakes races.
Oh, great. All right.
Race six, 8.5 furlongs on the dirt, the 4-horse Holy Justice, the 10-horse Splash of Tonic, and the 6-horse is the favorite, Louder Than Words, all absolutely fit on form to win. And then going to race 7, now you have a lot of horses that are stretching out. So I didn't do any adjustments for distance. I just went off pure speed given their starts. And the 6-horse is the co-favorite, Moen's Fit. The 12-horse, Tickle Feet, which has this on Parker on it, fits also at 4-1. And then the price is the 2-horse. Firing Range, a Firing Line colt that'll be stretching out. He's 12-1 on the morning line. So form to win like those three horses in that particular race.
Nice. All right. It's going to be a fun night. And the day continues. A couple more yet at Hong Kong. And we're, 23 minutes from first post at Churchill. It is a 14-hour extravaganza of racing action, Papo. I love it.
It's going to be a full day, right, Steve. That's
for sure.
That's for sure.
An evening. I mean, for those that are going to try to stay and dig in the heels, 9:45 Eastern is post for the Mystic Lake Derby, and the Pick 5 itself starts at 7:10. So maybe at some point take a dinner break and get ready for the later action. Papo, I appreciate it. Thanks for the glance, and we'll see about Friday if there's anything. And you know, I'm expecting that when I get back from the mid-season vacation, that we'll be maybe kicking off the revisions.
Yeah, it's pretty close, Steve. The boys are going to work on it while I'll be out also, obviously, on the honeymoon, but they'll continue to move through that. And then when we get back, it should be all systems go.
Outstanding. Papo Morales, everybody. Papo Core 1. Papo, thanks, buddy. We'll talk maybe Friday.
Yeah, sounds great, Steve. I'll talk to you later.
You got it. There we go. Let's take a break, an hour in, and the final order of finish ended up being 9:17, 3:10 at Carlisle. 9:17, 3:10. So you got a nice $16 winner on top. And the longtime leader ran very well. That Tommy G was 22-1
and hung on for second. And then one of the favorites, McKean, was third. And Tilsit was 13-1. So the mutual is going to be nice for this year's edition of the Carlisle Bell, which we probably, I don't know, fourth or fifth time that we've been able. Some years I forget about it. There's been a, I think there's been the occasion when we've been on vacation, too, for it. So that was great. All right. Deshaun Parker and Eric Hamelbeck in the next hour. Seth Merrow and Todd Pletcher in hour three. Plenty to do yet. And I'm sure I'll be interested. I'd be interested to see. I'll check with Seth. He's on TV right now. But be interested to see. If, I'm assuming Seth is going to have looked at the Canterbury action. So we'll see what happens. All right. Back after this, hour two, Deshaun Parker.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph.